With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, our understanding of mental health and illness and its relation to inflammation is undergoing a revolution. Today, research is blending the traditional laboratory with the psychologist's couch. So in the book Get Your Brain Off Grain, experts in the field of psychiatry and nutrition explain the emerging evidence-based insight as to gluten's effect, not only on the body, but on the mind as well. Well, I'm joined by two of the authors. Welcome to the show, Jessica Hellings and Deanna Kelly.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you on the show with us, ladies. And I do often think about Hippocrates, because it was him that said that everything starts in the gut, and it seems that he was right.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been going on for hundreds of years, and it's just taken us quite a while to come back around to understand that what we put into our bodies can actually impact our brain. And we put together a book to be able to share with the world our research and put together what we know on this topic.
And you did this with another author, Sharon Pugh, who I believe is a nutritionist. So you've sort of gone for the psychology and the food. So food as medicine, really.
This is correct. Yes, very much so. And I was the one that had the personal history that I tried the gluten-free diet, and it was a huge wake-up call that illustrated to me personally that this can really change all your maladies that you're suffering from that clinicians have never put together, because clinicians specialize in their own particular organ and they don't put all the body organ inflammation maladies together and consider the important role of diet and foods that could be making you sick.
So were you in pain then, Jessica? Is that why you decided to go gluten-free?
Really, I've tried the diet out of interest more than because I was in pain. But I had several gluten-related maladies that I did not identify as related to gluten, even as a psychiatrist. So I had very severe anxiety. I had a peripheral neuropathy, brain fog, irritable bowel syndrome, low thyroid, hypothyroidism, and all those are hallmarks of gluten-related illness. But even myself as a psychiatry clinician and researcher and all of my own clinicians did not put those things together. And only after the really big response to the diet that was totally unexpected on my part did I decide that this needs to get out to the public.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, Deanna? Because we think of gluten-free over the years and we think people have got gluten intolerance, they've often got IBS, they've got bloating, certain foods irritate them. But it's much more than that now. Is that what you're saying in this book?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my sort of role in this is I've been researching in this space for about 18 years. And, you know, my background was actually in pharmacy. I studied pharmacologic treatments to help people with mental health conditions, ran clinical trials and did all types of research. But actually, the science took us here when we started to find that people were having immune reactions to gluten and showing that we could actually see these immune reactions in the blood. But also we looked at brain scanning, we could see changes in the brain. And so then it put the story together, like what there's a lot more happening with gluten ingestion than just the gut. And so as Jessica pointed out, people can have, rashes, they could have autoimmune diseases, thyroidism, they could have joint pain, there's other things, but the brain is one of the organs that is impacted by gluten in some people.
So what is scientifically happening then if you eat gluten? What is it doing to your body?
So we talk in the book, I mean, Jessica, Sharon and I, we put together a nice beginning that talks about what is gluten and why are people susceptible to this and, you know, what is happening in the body. And we really point out that there is something called celiac disease, which a lot of people do know about. It's about 1% of the general population. It impacts not only the gut and other organs. People don't really know that, but it's an autoimmune condition where your body attacks itself. But what people really don't understand is there's a second there's a second illness called non-celiac gluten sensitivity, or NCGS, and it's really becoming much more known now. But it actually is people who have an immune response to gluten and can have other effects happen in the body, but it's not autoimmune like celiac is. So we don't see the damage to the gut lining, but we can see some of the other similar effects. You can have improvements on a gluten-free diet. You can improve your brain fog and your anxiety, like Jessica pointed out. And so there, we really talk about these two illnesses and to make sure and bring attention to this lesser known non-celiac gluten sensitivity illness.
Yeah, interesting. I'd heard of celiac disease, but never that one. So that's a new one on me. And it's interesting, isn't it, Jessica? You think about 20, 30 years ago, we'd never really heard of this sort of thing. Was it not around, or is it just that we didn't understand it back then?
Well, the research, especially as gluten relates to schizophrenia, has really been going on for decades.
Wow.
And even clinicians will be very surprised that buried in the medical journals is a wealth of information that there is a strong relationship between schizophrenia and gluten-related problems like celiac disease and NCGS. And so what has happened to me over my decades of experience as a psychiatrist is that I know that a significant percentage of people with schizophrenia or depression and other very serious mental illnesses that can be disabling are often treatment resistant. So treatment resistance is in up to 30% of people with disabling depression, which means they are not responding to their drugs. And in schizophrenia, even the big guns medication, clozapine, is not effective for a significant number of folks with schizophrenia. So this avenue of exploring gluten as it relates to treatment-resistant psychiatric and neurological illnesses, including seizures, is very exciting to me, that in all the decades, this is one new development that could really alter people's outcomes if they inform themselves about it, try to work out if they're genetically predisposed to it, and try the gluten-free diet. But also we urge in the book for people to have the blood test that we talk about. Try to see somebody who knows about celiac disease and NCGS try to consult expert clinicians. And we also have resources for this online throughout the world on the website. So our goal is to try to arm people with the knowledge that they can even advocate for themselves and go to their clinicians, take the book with them if necessary and say, hey, what about this?
Mm. What test is it? Is it a blood test?
Yes, there are. I'll let Deanna go into that.
Yeah, so for celiac disease, it's well known that there are some blood tests. They're called tissue transglutaminase, EMA, but for purposes, there are blood tests available. Clinicians generally will do a gut biopsy to confirm that diagnosis, but there's research in that area. But non-celiac gluten sensitivity is a little bit more challenging because blood tests are not specific for this. So often you have to rely on first ruling out celiac disease, but there are clues. We do use a blood test to look at antibodies. So just to see if there's an immune reaction happening to a protein in gluten called gliadin. So we see these high gliadin antibodies very prevalent in our schizophrenia patients, in our people who have depression, bipolar, anxiety, much more prevalent than the general population. So we use that as a proxy sort of marker to help us have a clue that people might have non-celiac gluten sensitivity. So it is a little more challenging to diagnose, but as Jessica said, a gluten-free diet works for both of these. So if people do have a response to a gluten-free diet, brain fog goes away, anxiety decreases, most likely you're having an immune reaction to gluten and having, you know, whether you're tested or not, still it's probably an effective strategy and you should work with clinicians and dietitians to make sure you're, doing your diet well and making sure you're getting the nutrients that you need. But there are tests to be able to look at these. So, yeah.
And how long would you need to be gluten-free before you'd notice a difference? Do you have to do it for a few months, you know, at least?
Let Jessica tell her story first and we'll tell you what we recommend on average.
Yes. So within 48 hours of simply substituting rice cakes for whole wheat bread that I ate, within 48 hours, I was so much younger. I felt 20 years younger.
Wow.
And I had all this extra energy that nobody would believe unless it happened to them. And in the book, we have case reports. So each chapter that's about the different psychiatric and neurological illnesses, we have detailed case reports that we have pulled out of the literature. And in every case, the improvements are fairly rapid. So we're talking about weeks. So this is so hard to believe that somebody who has been so ill with serious brain illness for years and years may have such a rapid improvement. And the improvement will be sustained if they're willing to stay on the diet.
And was it easy to do the diet? Sorry, Deanna. Was it easy to do the diet, Jessica? Was it, you know, yes. Cutting out bread for some people is difficult, but you have to cut out really, so much more.
Really, it is easy to do the diet. I have to tell people that that really substituting rice cakes was my first step for whole wheat bread, which I thought I was a healthy eater all my life. As a doctor, I thought I was eating very healthy food. But the biggest catch is when you eat out. If you're gluten-free and you're going out to eat, you have to check and double-check that what is on your plate when they bring it is actually gluten-free, because many times somebody else will pop on a nice little biscuit or something like that, that they think they're doing you a favor, and then they have to take the whole plate back and make it again. But interestingly, restaurants and food places have really improved in this, and the labeling of foods that you buy at the supermarket has also improved a lot.
Over to you, Deanna.
Yeah, I was going to say that on average, I mean, people usually in 2 to 3 weeks, like Jessica said, you can have some people can have some immediate responses, but then these antibodies do hang around in your body, in some people's bodies for a while, causing some immune. So like giving it a little bit more time is an effective strategy. But in 2 weeks, the literature shows us in a lot of the case reports and some of the published literature and even clinical trials, in two to three weeks, we're seeing some impact on psychiatric symptoms. So that's pretty profound. I was also going to say that eating gluten-free, people don't realize, but if you eat natural, you have meats in your diet, vegetables, fruits, and you can eat rice, potatoes, you know, there are, so it's not giving up starches. And so people don't realize there's a lot of really healthy, good food that encompasses the diet. It really comes down to the grains, the bread, the wheat, barley, and rye, really. But there are substitutes and the products now are much better. Now it's, you know, to be on a gluten-free diet, it's not necessarily, you know, what anyone would choose. But when people feel better on the diet, you know, and you're feeling better and you're coming out of brain fog for the first time, your anxiety is decreased. Like Jessica said, these are pretty profound reasons to stick to something that might be a different way of living.
I think it's good that it only takes a couple of weeks because it's a bit overwhelming if you think, well, I've got to do it for 6 months or even 3 months, you know, until I see a difference. So that's good news. But for people that don't actually know what gluten is in, do you do any sort of list in the book of what to avoid?
Yes, absolutely. So we have a chapter that actually goes into like what contains gluten and then what are hidden sources of gluten that are often, you know, challenging because people, labels should be marked. Most countries now have certified gluten-free labels. We list those in the book, even by country, what those labels look like to make sure that it's certified to be gluten-free. But there's gluten in thickeners like soups and gravy packets, things like that, that don't necessarily just say gluten or they don't say wheat. So you have to pay attention to contains wheat, but educate yourself on what are these things that can potentially have gluten in it. But makeup, chapstick, other things can contain gluten that people are surprised about. So you have to sometimes pay attention. And then some medications even have it. So like we even will check medications to make sure none of the fillers are often, you know, gluten or wheat based. So but our world has done a lot better in being able to identify and, you know, label like appropriately what's in things. But we go over that in detail with charts, tables, telling people like, here's what to look out for.
Can it help people if they just cut down, or do you have to cut it out completely?
Yes, you have to cut it out completely. We're talking all or none, because what happens is that in people who are genetically predisposed, the body mounts an autoimmune reaction to the gluten, and then mistakenly these antibodies attack the body and they attack the gut. So even a teaspoon of cake is going to set you back. And people who've been on the gluten-free diet will experience a recurrence of the brain fog and gastrointestinal issues if gluten has caused those. And so this isn't, we're talking all or none, to the best of your ability. But really, I must tell you, as somebody who went through this myself, if you cook your own food, you do your shopping carefully, and you eat healthy food, this can be life-changing.
Probably just becomes a way of life, I guess.
That is correct.
Yeah.
We also note, I mean, celiac disease is one thing. It's absolutely no gluten because you are damaging your body. We do talk about in the book, there is evidence with people who have NCGS. When you have healed a leaky gut, when you have healed your gut, some people can, and we don't have good evidence on, or there's not good literature on like when and how, but people have been able to introduce small amounts. And we don't, the research is ongoing, like how much in NCGS, but in celiac, absolutely no gluten at all. So, but we recommend for those, especially for those few weeks when you're going to try, a tad bit of gluten could stimulate an immune response, and you wouldn't know if it worked or not. So to give it that good shot for those several weeks, I absolutely gluten-free if you're going to be trying it for the first time.
Yeah, it's interesting you say about NCGS. That's really interesting. I'm going to look that up after the show. But I know somebody who has got all the symptoms, has had the symptoms for years, the bloating, even slight depression, all sorts of symptoms. And her doctor keeps saying, you've got celiac disease. I know you've got celiac disease. Every time she goes for tests, it comes back negative. And so the doctor thinks she's got something called undiagnosed celiac disease, which is great, but that's not helping.
Yeah, and it could be because the tests aren't 100%. So like you can have false positives and false negatives somewhat. And so that could be undiagnosed, but more likely than not, potentially, is NCGS diagnosis. And what I see a lot is physicians test or patients then bring the results in and they say, my doctor says I don't have celiac, so nothing's wrong with me. And so they only test for these antibodies for celiac disease. And it gets confusing. People don't understand what they should be testing for, what it actually means. And that if you're negative for celiac disease, you can still have non-celiac gluten sensitivity. So people, doctors are often forget, and this is a diagnosis that's now been in our, about 15, 20 years now. So it's a newer sort of understanding, and people just often don't understand how to diagnose that or what that is. So that's why the book gives advice on, if you don't have celiac and you still have gluten issues, it's likely NCGS. And so there's ways to look at that, test for it, and to try to help get you diagnosed for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose the answer is, even if you're not being diagnosed with it, like Jessica did, just give it a try and see if it helps when you do cut out gluten.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, that's where you can empower yourselves. That you have the opportunity to try it for, a couple of weeks. And if your brain fog starts to clear and your memory is better, your attention span's better, think about what else could get better in the months to come. So people, people have that option on their own to do that. We do recommend on a gluten-free diet that people, make sure we're supplementing good nutrition and also making sure that, you're getting the vitamin and minerals that you need. Folate is often enriched in breads and cereals, et cetera. So that's a source of worldwide for, so folate is important to make sure we have, but a couple of weeks on a gluten-free diet, if you have some of these symptoms and you have, especially if there's any family history or clues, it's a good opportunity to try it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the book for our listeners is called Get Your Brain Off Grain, How a Gluten-Free Diet Could Improve Your Mental and Neurological Health. It's by Sharon Pugh, who's not with us, but it's by Jessica Hellings and Deanna Kelly, who are with us today. And it is right now. We're selling it on our website, tre.radio, in our virtual bookstore. Do you guys, have you got any sort of website if people want to find out a little bit more about it?
Yes. We have I have a University of Maryland website that people can look at, but I have a website called deanna.kelly@healthscience.com. I got to give this, I actually sent this over to you. I'm like blanking right now in front of it, but you can Google Deanna Kelly.
Yes, I'm sure we'll find it.
Sorry, it's deanna.kelly@squarespace.com. I apologize.
Squarespace. You caught me off guard. Not a problem. I put you on the spot. Not a problem at all.
Deanna. Bless you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Jessica, for being so open and honest about your situation. Thank you both. I've certainly learned a lot in the last 15 to 20 minutes. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. And we really hope that the book helps a lot of people.
I think it will. I really think it will. Thanks, ladies. Bye for now.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.